7:30, and time once again for Community Forum. And we are lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning three guests, Vera Cisniega and Juan Robert, both with the Frente Cívico Pro Casino de la Selva, which translated is the Civic Coalition for the Defense of the Casino de la Selva in Cuernavaca. And Jeremy Simmer, who's been on the show before, who's with the Community Alliance for Global Justice. And we're going to be discussing Costco and Costco's spreading operations in Mexico. Thank you all three for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me start out and ask you to give us a brief history of the Casino de la Selva. What's happened there?
The Casino de la Selva is a reference in Cuernavaca. It's the name of a bus station. It's a place where most of people my age and much younger than me have learned to swim, have played. There were playgrounds, there were trees. But how it started is very funny, because the name refers to a gambling house that does not exist since more than 60 years. So there was once a gambling place, but everything, it was bought by Spaniards who got rich in Mexico. Manuel Suarez was his name, and who had the notion that he had to give something to his new country. So he wanted to give his country nothing less than a 16 chapel. So then the Spanish War came, and there were all those Spanish artists jobless in Mexico. So he invited them to paint for, you would say, bed and breakfast. And an artist community generated there. And many Mexican joined, so they painted an extraordinary amount of square meters or square feet, 15,000 square feet of murals in the style of what you would call the last phase of Mexican muralism. You know, a style that starts with Diego Rivera, Orozco, and there were some very great names among them. And then artists also from abroad started working there, giving. There was even a mobile by Alexander Calder in that place. It has disappeared. Nobody knows where it is. But anyway, it became a polyvalent place, though it was privately owned, had always a public use. You would call it commons of the people. People could go there and play, and people had to pay a small fee to enter. But many cab drivers with whom I have commented the matter told me, no, there were many holes in the fence and we could sneak into it. Nobody paid. And let's insist on the artistic patrimony that I just described. This, of course, there was no Michelangelo, but it's a unique case in history. But there were good painters there, good artists. So there was that artistic patrimony. There was an ecological patrimony, because you have there 800, perhaps 900 trees, some centenary. In an area that is going to become, now that everything have been cut, a grey area, because it's a tremendous loss for the climate, for the beauty of Cuernavaca. And there is also an archaeological site there of the formative period of Cuernavaca. It means some remainders of a culture of 3,300 years ago. It was already partly explored before the construction of the hotel that has just been destroyed by American archaeologists, a couple, the Valiant, V-A-I-L-L-A-N-T. There are many links on the internet, and it's now the most important thing. It is in the middle of the most vibrant, thriving economic area of Cuernavaca, a zone characterized by local initiative, family business, retail business. People have invested all their life for a little store, and it is in danger of being all, you know, when those big absentee owned chain stores come, they destroy everything.
How big of a city is Cuernavaca?
Cuernavaca has between 500,000 and 1,000,000 inhabitants. It is about the size of Seattle. It is denser, it is more compact, it is not so airy as Seattle.
And this area was also the last large green belt?
Yeah, in the middle of the city. It's not the same to have trees outside than have it inside. That's different.
So how is it that Costco came along and purchased this area and is in the process of tearing it down?
Yeah, Costco arrived and they want to build a store. And first they decide to buy land outside the city. But the government, the Mexican government, wants to build a street in that land where Costco wants to build. So the government sent Costco to the Casino de la Selva. That was a governor's... the owner was the government. And they sold it to Costco. But before, the governors took the Casino de la Selva for $64 million from someone that have to give money to the government, but they sell it in $10 million to Costco. It was cheaper to buy the biggest land in the middle of the city than about the first land outside the city. So it was very tricky.
Sounds similar to how business is done here. What was the community's reaction when they found out about this?
Well, I will tell it in my perspective, how I have experienced it. Actually, the 30th of June 2001, I was the one that, I don't know, by chance, aired the matter publicly, because I was in a public meeting and I asked, does anybody know what happens with the Casino de la Selva? And the answer was, well, it has just been sold to... And the name that they mentioned there was Costco. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know that there was something in the world called Costco. little by little we heard. And funny enough, there was a member of the government that I had invited myself, because I still considered him a friend. And he was so brutal in his answer that he provoked the first resistance. And out of his reaction grew El Frente en Defensa del Casino de la Selva, of which we are now representatives. Well, we are there to represent El Frente, the coalition, the civic coalition in defense of the site, Casino de la Selva. I insist, no longer a gambling house since more than 60 years. How the Frente, this coalition, organized its struggle in front of the community was to say that we were in fact defending four patrimonies. Sometimes I was tempted to call them commons, following this concept of the old common law. We don't have a similar concept in Spanish, but I use that concept, the commons. The first being artistic, and this openness to the public. And the second being ecological, the trees. The fact that this little selva, which means forest, was home of very rare birds. Four endangered species had their nests there, and it was also important in certain migrations of birds that go north in the summer and come in the winter. And the third patrimony was the archaeological patrimony. Just before the total destruction started, the government ordered exploration to be made, and in nothing of time they found 200 pieces of that very ancient civilization. And the fourth patrimony, I would call it an economic patrimony or an urbanistic patrimony, I would say sometimes. It's that network of mutually supporting relationship between common people who are able to take initiatives and who create that thriving, I would not use the term business, but association between buyers, vendors, and distributors. Something that works and that provides access to the market for local produces, which is really threatened now. So it also involves the situation of the peasant. You see, we live in a country which is known for its agrarian past. Cuernavaca is surrounded by villages who are officially part of the municipality, but who have retained their cultural autonomy. It's the land of Emiliano Zapata. So there is something to be saved there. And those peasants are in danger of losing their access to the market, because if those big boxes, if those stores are built there, they will slowly compete with the local market, the municipal market, which is less than 500 feet away. And we have seen that every time that a mega store has been built near a traditional market, the traditional market has perished.
And I'd like to make a comparison with what we have here at the local level. If you can imagine, I mean, this market that Juan is describing is a lot like the Pike Place Market and you know, and other farmers markets we have right here in Seattle and around the Puget Sound. And the park, the Casino de la Selva and the trees, I mean, we're talking about an area that had 900 trees, many of which were over a century old. I mean, you know, this was a really important urban green space. It was, you could also compare it to our Arboretum right here in the city of Seattle. Now, if you can imagine, I mean, what's happened since this construction, or should I say this, you know, demolition project has begun, is it these trees have been cut down completely. We're not talking like thinned out, you know, to make space for a building here or there. In this large space of I believe it's 24 acres, it's the trees have been demolished and all the topsoil has been removed. It's been a complete ecological disaster, right? Now, imagine if that happened here in Seattle. I mean, Cuernavaca is an arid climate, you know, and so they don't have the kinds of trees that we have here in the rainy Northwest, and so there, an urban green space is an even more valuable thing than our beloved Arboretum. Imagine the Arboretum being chopped down for a box store, and to add insult to injury, this Arboretum in Cuernavaca happens to be located, you know, just a stone's throw, about 200 yards from the major farmers market. That's the heart of the local economy. That's what's happening in Cuernavaca, is that so far the Costco and the Comercial Mexicana, the two stores that are planned, have not yet been built. But what's happened is all the trees have been cut. What used to be an urban green space is now a big sandy hole in the ground. And the buildings, the historical buildings that housed all these murals, have been destroyed.
Was there any back and forth between the community and the both the local and the state government there prior to this happening, where the community tried to stop this?
Yeah, we have been fighting 18 months, and we had been in a lot of conversations with the governors, local and state governors, and also the Costco's managers. But they just said, oh, this is a private land, and we can do anything. They can do whatever they want there. And that kind of things. They had never been like wanting to really solve the problem, no?
So, and there's no laws there to regulate exactly the impacts of large facilities like this?
There is a zoning law, which is very precise. A zoning law is a legal device that, in fact, restricts your freedom to use a property. The argument that whoever owns something can do whatever he, she will, she will of that is totally wrong. I mean, this is regulated by what's called a zoning law or a land use law. And the land use law, again, inherited from our, let's say, agrarian past, if I can say that way, protects the village, and not only the village, the inner districts of the city. So that the city is historically a kind of federation of districts, of barrio, as they say, and of villages. For instance, in the village where I live, which is Chamilpa, it's not allowed to build more than two stories. I mean, one and two, the lower part, how do you call that?
Two stories.
Yeah, okay. And the density is very controlled. So they have not changed that law because it would provoke a reaction of the people, because it would be contrary to a tradition. So what they have done is that they have invented a kind of Trojan horse, which is called usos especiales. So they have said of that plot, El Casino de la Ceiba, which is located in a zone where it's allowed to have commercial uses, habitational uses, residence, you know, and small and touristic installation. But with the exclusion, the explicit exclusion of megastores. So they have invented that device that say, but it's a case for special uses, usos especiales, which allows the government to nominate a commission, a mixed commission, half citizens, half government. And in fact, they tell them what they have to vote. So they decided that this place was good for Costco. And the big danger is that it was kind of a rehearsal of something that can happen through all the city. And their words are, funny enough, they use all the time the word conurbation as if it were something positive. There was one of the founder of modern city planning theory is Patrick Geddes, who lived in the beginning of the of the 18th century. He was a biologist who became an urbanist because he could not see well through the microscope. So he looked for words to express the equivalent of cancer for an urban texture. And he invented the term conurbation. It is when all differentiations collapse and you just have one zone, one big land market, totally ruled by the iron law of the market. This is called deregulation. Deregulation, I think you say in English. And they also use the term. Our ideal is to deregulate the land market. So it's very dangerous for tradition, for the culture, and for the peasants. It's aimed at destroying whatever remains of rural culture around the city.
So you are in Seattle because one of the primary reasons was you came to the Costco shareholders meeting earlier this week. Tell me what happened there. How did that go?
Well, we came to be in the shareholder meeting, and we have also some friends that are shareholders, and they had been trying to speak with Costco about it and ask him why they are doing that, because the first and almost like the unique demand is that they look for another place to put their store. They can choose another land, but they don't want that. So we have shareholders, well, we are friends of, that had been trying to speak with Costco and tell them to choose another place, but they don't want to. So we went with them to the shareholder meeting, and we tried to speak there. Mary Jo, who is a shareholder, starts asking why they haven't answered her phone calls, and then another shareholder tried also to speak about it. And after these two people spoke, they said no more questions about Cuernavaca. But I had wrote something to tell them, And I said, no, I have to talk. I came from Cuernavaca to talk with you. So I have a microphone, and I stand up, and I start to speak when they cut my mic. So I have to continue with my loud voice. But also, the Jim, Senegal, and Jeff, the ones that were like directing that, start talking and talking. And also another people from the show holders also was talking. So I have to scream. And finally, they close their mouth, and I can finish, no? But what's very weird, the reaction. Because people were saying, oh, go home. We don't care about it. And they just want us to shut up and no more questions about it. But, well, that was it.
So would it be fair to say you were somewhat disappointed with the reaction of the shareholders there at the meeting?
Yeah, of course.
I think from the past year and a half experience of the people of Cuernavaca trying to dialogue with Costco and also with local shareholders right here in Washington State, trying to bring up the subject with Costco, it's really fallen on deaf ears with the company. And so I think what happened at the shareholder meeting on Thursday was pretty consistent with that pattern. They were not interested in having a real dialogue about the situation. And in fact, the chairman and CEO who were chairing the meeting, they just issued a blanket denial. They said that they were taking care of the trees and making sure to replant them. And when the fact is, sure, their claim is true. They're donating 30,000 trees to the city of Cuernavaca. But Cuernavaca just lost its arboretum. They just lost their park. Where are they going to put the trees? And there's, 30,000 or 300,000 or, 30 million saplings, little saplings, can never replace mature old-growth trees of 100 years old or more. So there's been a lack of dialogue all along, and that played out in the shareholder meeting on Thursday again.
There was a good response in the articles. There was an article both in the Seattle Times and the PI about the shareholders meeting, and someone had stated in one of those two articles that if this isn't the place to bring up these issues, then where is?
Mm-hmm.
One has to wonder where does corporate responsibility start?
Mm-hmm.
So what you told us what you'd like Costco to do is that from Costco's standpoint, do they really have an out at this point? Can they turn around and realistically sell that land back to the community and get their money back?
Yeah, I think so. The thing is that this case is a mix between Costco and the governors. So there's a lot of people that wants to be, maybe not a lot of people, but some people once could buy the land, but they don't want to tell it like publicly because it's like a kind of getting trouble with the governor. So they had been without saying nothing. But if Costco said, okay, we are leaving the Casino La Selva, we are looking for another place, I think the people will arrive and said, oh, I want this land. No, for a better use. Because also if you talk about like economy, this is not a big business. We can have better business there that produce more money than what a Costco could do. So
is this the first mega store, mega type store that's moved into your community?
It is the 17th. But it is bigger than any other, and it is the only one which is right in the center of the city. And it is critical because I consider that there is a critical point between what you would call local retail of people who are local residents and whose initiative have created the economic texture of the city. And on the other side, absentee-owned care stores like Costco, whose headquarters are here and who send down exported products for the main part. who do not patronize anything in the city constantly, or there is a fake. They want now to send an art collection there for what? They want to put it in a space that would also be a restaurant at the same time, a restaurant, a museum. It's not very clear because as a result of our action, they have now come up with the idea to create a small cultural center. What it means, I don't know exactly. But anyway, I was speaking of a critical balance between locally organized retail and those big stores. Now, the proportion is about 60% local versus 40% big store. Now, it means that, I will not say that a megastore is per se damaging, but it's a matter of proportion, how much. And if Costco is allowed to build its boxes, which will be like four times the Sam's that we already have, it might be the beginning of the end. I mean, that proportion is going to be upset, and Cuernavaca is going to be like one of those cities of the frontier. You know, everything is big market, and all those people who have now taken initiatives, who have now spent a life creating a patrimony also for their children, for their family, because they want to inherit them to their children. Those families are going to go bankrupt, and it's tens of thousands of families.
Yeah, Comercial Mexicana, that is the partner of Costco in Mexico, has a store, a mega store, across the street. So what they are going to do is to change the store off corner and build it in Corcino de la Selva with a Costco near. But also, where the Comercial Mexicana was in front, they are going to build a Home Mart. So instead of being two new megastores, will be three megastores.
It seems that if things keep going the way they are, we will just all be living in giant world of megastores soon. You are both speaking in town later today. We only have a couple minutes left. I wanted you to tell us about what's going on with that.
Yeah, today Juan and Vera are going to be speaking this morning at 11 a.m. Right here in Seattle. And it's a public meeting. It's free. If anyone wants to come and hear more about it and ask questions, everyone's welcome. It'll be this morning at 11 a.m. in Seattle's International District. The address is 606 Maynard Avenue South. That's just two blocks south of Jackson, and it's a block away from Awaja Maya. The thing is it's in the heart of Chinatown, and today is Chinese New Year. So anyone who comes down should be sure to come early, and parking is going to be a mess. So be sure to take the bus or walk or bike if you can, or come really early if you bring your car to find a space. Also, for Community Alliance for Global Justice, the group that I represent here in Seattle, for us this is a question of accountability. I mean, this is a company based right here in our backyard in Issaquah, and we as neighbors have a responsibility to keep Costco accountable for what they're doing overseas. So I would encourage everyone who's listening to the program today to get up and call Costco and and let them know that this is just not acceptable, and to really follow through with the demand of the coalition from Cuernavaca, which is to halt construction immediately and find another place. If anyone wants any more information about the situation, the organization Cuernavaca, their website is www.procasino.org. That's procasino. And also here at the Community Alliance for Global Justice, you can call us at 206-405-4600.
All right. Well, with that, we are unfortunately out of time. So I'd like to thank you all three for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've just been talking with Vera Cisniago and Juan Robert, who are both with Frente Cívico Pro Casino de la Selva, and Jeremy Simmer, who is with the Community Alliance for Global Justice.